You know, a long time ago in a dusty, messed-up radio studio downtown here in New York, when I had a show late at night, we were talking about songwriter Doc Pomus, a rock music genius who died of cancer, and Lou Reed of the Velvet Underground, a legend in his own right, came over and talked to us on the radio. I don't remember what he said. I just remember his face. Serious, mysterious. So much behind it. A man seemingly humbled by life and death at the same time.
I was interested in some kind of magic, some transcendence, something that would take one away from everything. And I wrote Magic and Loss because there had been loss to temper any magic. And there didn't seem to be anything I knew of that helped you with this particular subject matter. And I just wrote it. I didn't have any choice about it. That's what I wrote. And that's all I could do at the time.
I see the sword of Damocles is right above your head. They're trying a new treatment to get you out of bed.
That's Lou Reed singing about the sword of Damocles there from a PBS documentary, American Masters. We're remembering the magic of Doc Pomus. He was then one of the many people that Lou Reed said goodbye to as he outlived people like Andy Warhol and the musicians and artists of the renegade rock and art scene in New York in the 1960s.
CJ!
Lou Reed died over the weekend at age 71. He'd had a liver transplant earlier this year and had health challenges. Reed and his wife, Laurie Anderson, were New York fixtures, disciples of the force of music, of art, and culture altogether and its power to comment on our world. Transformer, Rock and Roll Animal, so many albums, words and lyrics, songs and scenes, it's hard to imagine him gone. Earlier today, we spoke with Mo Tucker, the drummer from the Velvet Underground, and she says it was all just music. Back in the day,
I always thought our music was stunning, but I wasn't thinking of it being artistic or groundbreaking. But I was having fun and really loved our music. I loved it, loved playing it.
What were the audiences like back then in the days when the Velvet Underground was really underground?
Well, there were a few shows, but one in particular, this when we first were playing with Andy, we played at the YMHA in Philadelphia, and people left in droves because it was, you know, it was older people who didn't were expecting, I guess, Andy to be showing his paintings or something, and what they got was us. So that was one side of it when we'd play places like that. But when we'd play, like, in Boston, the audiences, well, many were drugged, I'm sure, but lots of dancing and lots of standing around looking and seemingly very appreciative.
What was the connection between the Velvet Underground and Andy Warhol and that whole art scene?
Well, there was more of a connection between Lou and John, probably, and Andy. Now, I considered Andy as a friend, but I wasn't involved in being philosophized or anything. But the main connection was our collaboration, doing our multimedia, as they called it, shows.
I mean, it really was revolutionary. We think of it now as music videos or,
yeah,
you know, stage shows. But back then, I mean, you were inventing the world.
It was, yeah, way more revolutionary than I thought at the time. It just didn't, you know, even when you're doing a project on your own, you don't think of the effects or the possible effects or anything, but it was really revolutionary. Must have been quite a shock to lots of audiences.
What are the lyrics that stand out in your mind of Lou's songs? I mean, he particularly valued his poetry, his sense of the use of words.
The lyrics to Heroin, Waiting for My Man, Pale Blue Eyes. Those are some of my favorites. All Tomorrow's Parties, I always like the lyrics to that.
Where did he come up with this stuff? Where did he get it? Did you wonder if there was like some magic fountain?
Well, in a way, Lou was very well-read and obviously very intelligent. and admired, I think, admired a lot, poets and the use of words. I find it very, in a way, admirable of people who can write songs that don't mean anything to them personally. In a way, I find that very admirable. Lou didn't do that. But I think every song Lou ever wrote had something personal in it, with it. And he could, you know, he could certainly write a song that didn't mean anything to him. But I find it very interesting that some people can write songs that mean nothing, really, personally to them. The few songs that I've written, every one of them has a totally personal meaning to it. I am unable to write a song that doesn't mean something to me. Not because I'm some great poet or internalist, but I think that's a talent to be able to do that. And then there's the talent of Lou, of someone like Lou, to be able to write songs that are very meaningful to himself and apparently to lots of other people.
His material wasn't what was going on in his life. His material was the whole world.
Yeah. Yes, that's true. But also, I think initially, maybe I'm wrong, but it seems to me that initially most of the songs were about something personal to him. Later on, he took on more worldly topics, which were, you know, if you're going to take on a worldly topic in a poem or a song, it also means that that topic means something to you if you're writing about war or politics or whatever. If you don't care about it, you wouldn't, or he wouldn't for sure write about it.
And he loved the fact that people couldn't figure him out, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. It's nice to be a mystery.
And he's a mystery today.
Yeah.
You know that song, that whole idea about a perfect day?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're asking people what their perfect day is, their idea of a perfect day. Do you have a thought on that?
Every day you get through, I guess, is a perfect day. Today and yesterday aren't too perfect, though.
No.
I feel very weird, very off kilter.
Well, Mo Tucker, thanks so much.
Well, thank you.
Mo Tucker is the drummer for the Velvet Underground. Also from the Velvet Underground, John Cale on Facebook yesterday. Lost my schoolyard buddy. David Bowie wrote, he was a master. And Whoopi Goldberg, Lou was one of a kind. And this colored girl still says, dee 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 dee.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.